Lawmakers wrap up the 2022 session. Final passage of the tax cut and gun bills, plus gas prices and more on Indiana Week in Review, the week ending March 11th, 2022.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.
This week, lawmakers sent a billion-dollar tax cut to the governor's desk in the early hours of Wednesday morning, ending their 2022 session. The measure makes two major tax reductions. It cuts the individual income tax down to 2.9%, and it eliminates a pair of utility taxes. Republican Representative Tim Brown, the bill's author, says the utility taxes will cost the state $200 million a year and will help Hoosier ratepayers.
Electric utilities will be required to put on their bill and also calculate rate reductions or decrease in bills to people, to our constituents.
The income tax cut will take place over at least 7 years, and some of that reduction will only go through if state revenues grow by at least 2% and the state eventually pays off debt in a teacher pension fund. Democratic Representative Greg Porter says Republicans didn't include such triggers when they slashed the corporate tax for several years.
So why are we doing it to everyday people?
If the governor signs the bill as expected, the utility tax elimination will take effect July 1st, and the first cut of the individual income tax won't happen until January. How long will it take for the income tax cut to be fully implemented? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, and hey, there are people sitting around the desk. It's Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwanes, host of Indiana Lawmakers, and Nikki Kelly, State House reporter for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. I'm Indiana Public Broadcasting State House reporter Brandon Smith. Ann Delaney, is the trigger mechanism for the income tax cut a good move?
This whole thing is such a joke. I mean, the whole thing, the headline, billion-dollar tax cut. For the average person, the average Hoosier making $50,000 a year, this is a dollar a week. Okay, a dollar a week. All of this is about politics. It has nothing to do with fiscal policy. If they wanted to do something, you know, they can brag that ultimately, maybe if we fully fund the teacher's pension and the roads, you know, the creeks don't rise or whatever else has to happen, they're going to have a small, and I mean minuscule, tax cut for the average user. Now, wealthy people, since we don't have a graduated income tax, are going to make out better with this, certainly. But the problem is, we're not getting the economic development initiatives. We have fewer people going to college. We have fewer educated workers. And what do? Do we invest in that? Do we do preschool? Do we do lower tuition for college? No. Do we pay teachers more? No. Do we do something about our substantial health problems? No. What we do is try to wire it so that not only they can then say they have a tax cut, even though nobody will feel it, they can then say that future generations, or at least 7 years down the road, arguably, won't be able to make those investments either. It is the typical Republican one-trick pony. No ideas, no investments, just cut taxes. That's all they know how to do.
The utility tax cut would take effect first on July 1st, and that'll mean a couple bucks on the monthly utility bill. The first cut in the income tax will take place January 1st of 2023. That one's automatic, doesn't need a trigger, but that'll be for a person making $50,000, 40 bucks. Is anybody going to notice this billion-dollar tax cut package?
I don't think so. I think, look, I mean, what the Republicans were trying to do is balance between what the House Republicans wanted, which was a substantial immediate income tax cut, and prudence from the Senate that said, let's wait and see what's real here. Let's wait and see what's real in income, in revenue, rather, tax revenue. Let's see what inflation does, which government clearly benefits from. You know, when inflation's high, government benefits, and so you're going to see more revenue.
They were trying to find a way
to balance those two interests. The problem, and it is politics, of course. I mean, it's you know, the politics of this election are doing things that are popular with people, and part of something that's popular with a right-leaning state like Indiana is cutting taxes. The problem I have with the politics, to Ann's point, it's if you go and hard sell a billion-dollar tax cut, people aren't stupid. I mean, they're going to either feel it or they're not, and they're not going to feel this. Maybe probably ever. They're not going to notice 2 years from now when we shave it another fraction of a point. or over the next 7 years, when health insurance premiums are still going to go up, when the federal government may raise taxes. You know, so it's really hard to, over a sustained period of time, sell the politics of this. But I get it in the short run. I get Republicans, especially House Republicans led by Speaker Houston, trying to balance huge investments in economic development through the IEDC bill, new investments in education, and balance that off with, hey, let's give some people their money back at the same time and keep government from growing into what these revenues might force.
John,
like preschool.
The first question I asked was, how long will it take for that income tax cut to be fully implemented? It could be 7 years. It could be longer if we don't see, A, 2% revenue growth in every biennium, and B, mm-hmm. halfway through, if they don't pay off the pre-96 teacher pension fund. So will it take 7 years or longer?
We can hope. I mean, as people who pay taxes and would benefit from the cut, we can hope that Indiana prospers, that our nation prospers, and that the dollars, in fact, are there at a level that allows this cut to be implemented. I don't think we can guarantee that. I think there are so many things that are unaccounted for. We're still coming off of an unprecedented situation. The impact will probably be felt for years with COVID. Now we're dealing, well, if not unprecedented, with a situation, an international situation that certainly in our lifetime we probably have not dealt with in a global economy that where something that happens on the other side of the planet, you know, has almost an immediate effect on the coffers in the state of Indiana. So I don't think we should take it for granted. I think you talked about the caution and prudence of Republican caucus in the Senate. And they probably, I mean, to the extent that they were able to get this trigger over 7 years, that is a victory.
More than just the seven-year trigger, I think it's the pension pay down.
The pension
that's
is
been there.
Is
a big They've deal. Been beating yeah. that drum for a really long time.
It is a big thing,
time.
Too, because now there is a bit of a safety net there for the state. And as I mentioned last week, I think it was, it's so much easier to, if necessary, suspend a tax cut Right. than raise taxes, even though we could get out a dictionary and argue about whether the meaning is one and the same. It just is politically more saleable.
So no direct business tax cuts in the bill, which is a loss for the business community, but the vast, 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 vast majority of businesses in this state pay the individual income tax, not the corporate income tax. So on balance, if you're a business in Indiana, are you happy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to help sort of smaller businesses, the LLCs, you know, certain ways. But it's not going to help the big manufacturers who wanted the business personal property tax cut or sort of the larger industries. It's not going to help them pretty much at all. But then again, they also saw a marked corporate tax decrease for years and years.
So it did not have a trigger.
They already got their own, yes, with no trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question. And this week's question, if a little wordy, is, will most Hoosiers feel the impact of an individual income tax cut that's spaced out over at least 7 years? A, yes, or B, no. Last week's question, did the General Assembly find the right balance on the COVID-19 vaccine employer mandate bill? Just 24% of you say yes, 76% say no. Democrats all voted for that bill in the end. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Well, Hoosiers will no longer have to get a permit to carry a handgun in public under a bill headed to the governor's desk. After quick and relatively easy passage by the House this week, the Senate debated the bill on the floor for the first time ever for nearly 3 hours. Almost every law enforcement organization in the state opposes the bill. They argue the permit system is the only way for frontline officers to know whether someone is allowed to carry a handgun. But Republican Senator Aaron Freeman says the permit system is only a burden on law-abiding citizens who shouldn't have to ask the government for the right to carry.
The bad guys, the criminals, the folks with a criminal record that are prohibited persons are walking the streets tonight in Indianapolis without a permit.
About 13,000 Hoosiers had their handgun carry permits rejected or revoked in the last 2 years. Under the bill, opponents say they wouldn't know they're barred from carrying. Democratic Senator Eddie Melton pleaded with his colleagues to reject the measure.
This will be dangerous. Have you ever seen a friend take their last breath from gun violence?
The bill passed the Senate 30-20, with 9 Republicans joining Democrats against it. Mike O'Brien, will Governor Holcomb sign this bill?
I think he's in a really tough spot. Superintendent of State Police Doug Carter was, you know, as strident and direct as I've seen any administration official ever be in front of a committee or to the legislature, more so than most governors would ever be. Maybe not Mitch Daniels, but all the other ones. So I think this puts him in a tough spot. I think we talked last week about process, how this came to be finished at the end after the bill died. It was bottled up in committee a couple times. You could also argue, Senator Cook, last week we talked about Senator Cook, defending that, and I think he's right to defend it. One, it's not at all unusual for a bill to pass one house and then die in the second house and then come back. It's very unusual for a bill to pass out of one chamber, be heard for 9 hours in the second chamber, go to the floor, and then be stopped, and then come back for another full hearing. They never had a full debate on the floor of the Senate, which they did have, which is really unusual in conference committee. So, from a process standpoint, there probably wasn't another bill that was debated longer than this one in public the entire session. So I think from a process standpoint, I don't think there's a violation here that people are trying to, some people have tried to make that argument. But I do think the governor's in a tough spot between a legislature that, on a bipartisan basis opposed this, but still pretty easily passed it in a way that could also sustain a veto.
Yeah, easily. Will he sign it?
Oh, I think he'll sign it because, he'd rather stand with the NRA and the crazy gun nuts in his caucus than with law enforcement. I mean, this bill clearly will put law enforcement more in jeopardy. Now you can go into one of those sales at the state fair, a government-owned institution, buy a gun with cash. You don't need a background check. You may have mental health issues.
As long as you're not a federally qualified.
Right, but
right.
If you're buying from a firearms dealer, you have to get a background check.
Yes, but you don't have to buy it from a firearms dealer.
Well, not from your friend, but I think at the kind of event you were talking about.
I think most of them are.
Most of them. But it is clearly going to put law enforcement in jeopardy. And there's no excuse for it because the Second Amendment is no different than the other amendments to the Constitution. And they're perfectly happy to put all the obstacles they can get away with legally in the face of people trying to vote, which is a constitutional right as well, but not anything. They don't even want to be fingerprinted. I mean, where's their sense of, if you're trying to weed out criminals from getting weapons and people that are mentally unstable from getting weapons, you would think that those kinds of background checks and those kinds of fingerprintings would be routine, and people would all be in favor of that, but not the Republican caucus.
The governor's options here are not just sign the bill and veto the bill. There is a third option, Nikki, which I think you think he's going to do.
I do kind of think he might do this because he's in a box. He's either going to publicly go against his own state police superintendent, or he's going to, if he vetoes the bill, he basically puts his credibility up for any future run if he is interested in the U.S. Senate. So he can let it become law without his signature. It's not a very popular or courageous thing to do.
It's also not commonly used.
It's not commonly. I think the last time I saw it, Pence did it a few times in 2015 on some gambling.
It's
on the gambling.
It's weak. That's
right.
What it is.
John Schwanes, if the governor signs this bill, should Doug Carter remain the state police superintendent? Whether of Holcomb's or Doug Carter's choice.
I think Holcomb certainly would keep him. Yeah. It's up to Doug Carter, who has gone, as you point out there on a limb, appearing in uniform, even in the back of the chamber during the vote. I mean, not just what he said earlier in the session in committee, but, this has been a drumbeat that he has sounded. I hope he stays. He, by all accounts, seems to be a very good superintendent. I think, if I had to guess, that the governor will veto this. I think that he went out of his way to say, in the final days of the session, I'm not just 100%, I'm 110% behind Doug Carter.
Even if I don't agree with him.
Even if you don't agree with him. And I think there's enough human cry from, and I know this isn't monolithic in terms of law enforcement. I know there are police chiefs here and there.
Shoot.
But you look at the FOP, you look at the state police, you look at prosecuting attorneys, all the major organizations. And I look at it this way. The pendulum, I'm a believer in the pendulum of history. I think we're about as conservative to the right as we can be. And he's not, So he's not running for anything arguably presumably for another, until he finishes his term as governor. So it's probably not going to get any worse politically any repercussions for veto. And I would also look at it this way. If he signed it and everybody gets a gun, the only thing that happens in terms of win and loss, in terms of coverage and news developments, would be, and let's hope this doesn't happen, the police officer who gets killed when he makes a traffic stop or she makes a traffic stop, or the person who, under the old regime, would have been one of those 12 or 13,000 people rejected in the past few years. Then guess what? There's no win for him if he signs it.
You think the difference between someone shooting a police officer and a routine traffic stop is this law?
No, but I'm saying the coverage. If that were to happen, and an officer, you know how the business works, and when you have every shooting is going to be scrutinized.
It proves that absent this law, that person wouldn't have shot and killed that police officer.
Well, it raises a question.
It
raises a
question. Say that he did.
I think people who want to take political advantage of it will make that.
We covered all the bases.
I think we covered all three options. So veto, somebody, sign, and let pass an
so
along.
So what do you say
signature?
Now? You got
and dodged.
And dodged.
So you got to go on the record. Come on.
He's going to sign it. All right. As Republicans finalized their tax cut package, Indiana Democrats this week proposed more immediate relief for Hoosiers, and that includes a temporary suspension of the state's gas tax.
The Republican tax bill cuts the state's individual income tax by about 10% over 7 years, meaning the average Hoosier likely won't notice much different in their paycheck. Democrats wanted to shorten that window to just 4 years, and Senator Tim Lannon says they also want a 3-month suspension of the state gas tax and sales tax on gasoline, which could save people around $12 per fill-up.
It'll provide that immediate relief when you drive up and, you know, fill up your tank at the gas station.
Doing so would cost the state around $300 million in revenue, much of which goes to road construction. Representative Greg Porter says the state can cover that cost.
We have a $5 billion surplus, $200 million since December. We have the money to backfill those lost revenues.
Republican legislators dismissed the idea of suspending those gas taxes.
John Schwann, is suspending the gas tax and or the sales tax on gasoline, which are two different things, do you think that's something Governor Holcomb would consider?
I'm sure he's considering it because it would be politically popular. We look at what Frank O'Bannon did back in 2000, I believe it was, when we had this huge increase in spike.
Was it $1.48?
It was $1.80.
$1.80.
Oh, God.
If only we could go back to those days. That was the point. And I remember Frank O'Bannon saying at that point, there are three things on my agenda right now, borrowing the old real estate, location. He said, the three things that matter to Hoosiers right now, gas prices. So, and he did well. I mean, look, he was won election after that, a few months later. However, this issue came up again with his successor, with Mitch Daniels, and his general counsel, when he was governor, when there was a push to do this, and Pat Bauer, who was then speaker, Democratic speaker in the House, said, we need to do what Frank O'Bannon did. And his general counsel, the governor's general counsel, said, I don't think you have the authority to do that. And then they requested an opinion from the attorney general. And then Chief Deputy Greg Zeller, who would later, of course, grab the top job, said, no, you don't, under the 1981 law that he cited in declaring this emergency. So whether he thinks it's a good idea or not,
he may not be able to.
I also would suggest it's probably voters have short memories. And the prices will come down. I mean,
down for the time being.
But I wonder if you get the bang for your buck.
Well, are you a little surprised that the lawmakers didn't just push this through
really
the last
surprised.
Second?
I'm really surprised. We've listened to 3 months of we've got billions of dollars. Right. We've got $5 billion. And we want to help Hoosiers now. We pass something that doesn't help anyone now.
Maybe July.
And then they that would have been massively popular. Only cost $300 million, which I realize I said only, but in the scheme of what the state has on hand. And also,
it would take the upcoming surplus or the reserves from $5 billion to $4.7 billion.
Yeah, and
my God, but not as sexy as saying $1 billion. Or saying
no, they could have included it as part of it. It still said that.
I agree with it. You're right. I'm just saying it's.
You could have done both and immediately helped people.
Exactly. I think the sales tax by itself, I mean, we'd lower it to below $4 a gallon. with that. I'm a little reluctant on the gas tax because it does go to roads and driving on these roads.
You wouldn't have to give it up. You would just have to use the surplus money.
You could do that. It's the sensible thing, and Representative Porter and Senator Lennon are exactly right. And I hate to say it, but it's another example of the Republicans being devoid of ideas. That helps the average Hoosier. It doesn't help the big businesses and the rich people as much because, frankly,
it doesn't have the
impact as somebody who's making, you know, $2,000 a month. It just doesn't. If you pay another quarter for gas, it's not going to make a difference in your standard of living.
Mike O'Brien, should other states are doing this? I think I saw Georgia is doing this. A couple others that I've seen in these past few days announced that they were suspending a version of their gas tax. Should Indiana do, or should they have done this?
Yeah, I think they should have taken a real look at it. Gas prices have been going up. It's not the White House wants to blame it on Russia. It's been going up for months, right? But yeah, they should have looked at it. The interesting thing about the gas tax, unlike the income tax, it's a flat cents on the dollar instead of a percent. So as gas, ironically, the impact is diminished the higher gas prices are, right? So
right, which is why the sales tax is the bigger deal.
That's a big deal because it's a percent, right? So they all look at that piece of it too. I'm interested though to see the states that have done this, and maybe Indiana joins them at some point. We'll see how long gas prices stay where they are. How do you put it back? The politics of suspending it are like universally popular.
Unless we just
flushed $1 billion in road money out the window, but we really need it back, so we're going to put it up.
The gas tax, and you trigger it to when the gas prices drop to say $3.50.
You can't put a trigger in law to cut taxes.
That's fluctuation.
Once it drops to $3.50, then all bets are off.
Suspend it and somebody contests it in the General Assembly, maybe you could get a package deal with the Supreme Court because he already has one that's going to be heard in April. Maybe you get a discount on a bonus for a twofer.
All right. Well, the General Assembly, that's fiscal conservatism.
That's right.
The General Assembly wrapped up its 2022 session this week, so it's time to ask a few questions about how it went. Nikki Kelly, first, what was the biggest story of the session?
Okay, so I'm going to not pick a bill per se, but the biggest story was watching House Republicans and Senate Republicans butt heads. It was fascinating, and on so many different bills, you know, whether it be the tax bill or the education curriculum bill or the vaccine mandate bill, just so many times.
Or even the gun bill a little bit.
Yeah, the gun bill. The House Republicans pushing so far and fast, and Senate Republicans saying, whoa, you know, let's pull this back a little. So that, to me, was definitely the story of the session.
And if those out there were listening to their public broadcasting stations this week, that's exactly what I made the point of my end of session.
That was a John Schwannis level plug.
It was.
Wow. Well, you have to do a little more plugging to get up to my level.
John Schwannis, what was the biggest story of the session?
Well, I'd say it's the thinly veiled, actually, maybe it's not even thinly veiled, it sometimes bubbles to the surface, distrust or disdain that the General Assembly or members of the General Assembly have for state agencies, for local expertise, even local elected officials. There seems to be, and not all of these things passed, mind you, but I've seen for several sessions, it's basically this, don't you try to do something. You may have the expertise in a given area, whether it's some obscure thing with, you know, how many parts per million of this constitutes dangerous air quality. We'll take care of that. Don't trouble your pretty little head with that. And so it seems to be that ongoing.
I see a lot of that. Biggest story of the session, Mike O'Brien.
To kind of build on what Nikki said, I think that the House pushed a lot of issues that they supported, of course, but also were popular in the primary to defend against. They have 23 primaries against incumbent Republicans, right? Coming from the far right.
Yep, a lot of primaries.
You know, John's comment earlier, how much more conservative can it get? It's like, well, give us a minute. You know, and I think the Senate Republicans slowed that down, right, to the point where I think House Republicans are walking away saying, you beat our most conservative ideas that we were going to, in part we were going to run on, and what you may have done is ensure that you have a more far-right House.
Big story of the session.
The effect of gerrymandering. The effect of gerrymandering.
First show back in person, you got it in.
It's true. That's what it is. I mean, obviously, it's that, and then the whole brouhaha about 10/34. I think we looked terrible. 11/34.
Yeah.
I think we looked terrible in the national image with that.
Winner, biggest winner and loser. I'll do it all at once.
Oh, geez. I mean, Senate Republicans, in that they play defense really well. And I would say Holcomb was probably a little down. They didn't give him the only tax increase he asked for. And,
at the start of the session.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Environmental groups didn't get everything, but they avoided a lot of very bad things for them. So I'll say that was the winner. Loser, state police and the forces that combated this open carry.
Winner and loser, Michael Brown.
I thought the biggest winner was Doc Brown on his way out. You know, had a substantial tax cut package and just, you know, is leaving public service at a time when he is respected by all sides, and that's almost impossible to do anymore.
Biggest loser?
I think we were just all winners. I think we just had a wonderful
another very quickly, very quickly.
The biggest winner is the NRA, and the biggest loser is law enforcement and the public.
All right. Well, that is Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and Nikki Kelly of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity and on the WFYI app. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Join us next time, because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
The opinions expressed are solely those of the panelist. Indiana Week in Review is a WFYI production in association with Indiana's public broadcasting stations.